Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is Mick Moran and Christian Anderson once again. I'm keeping with the full names. I wasn't going to do it, but we're carrying it on. It's a New Year's resolution. We're keeping it up. There's a couple of games that have happened, obviously, recently that we can speak about, of course. Sunday, when we performed absolutely boss in a 4-0 win over Bournemouth, of course, yesterday, and we drew 1-1 with Fulham. But the main result was that we get to go to Wembley once again, which is massive, absolutely huge for this new side. And a bit of Norwich at the end, maybe a little bit of Chelsea, where we can discuss like how it might affect team news going into playing every Wednesday and Sunday, or playing every three games like it's going to be when we get into even more competitions. But before we get into it, Christian, how are you doing, lad?
Very good, very good. Another Wembley trip, which is nice, especially you're looking at, you know, last season, and we've compared last season to this season quite many times. You know, we were sitting doing podcasts last season, just trying to keep our hopes up for, you know, some games, just trying to see the positive things and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, this season's been, you know, amazing so far. Top of the league, going to another final, still in the FA Cup, which we'll talk about. Still in the Europa League. It's not the Champions League, but it's still a European competition. So, you know, being a Liverpool fan at this time of the moment, you know, it's brilliant. And we're playing good. And we have, you know, youngsters coming through, showing great levels. Can't complain. So it's quite, you know, amazing at the moment to be a Liverpool supporter.
It is. I think the only thing that we need to do is do more shows, because doing these shows where you have to talk about like three or four games is quite difficult when you're getting through having to remember everything that happened, because like you said, every 3 days is another game, and there's loads of stuff and loads of good stuff that you want to speak about. So we'll do Bournemouth first, just to not to just get out of the way, because it was a boss performance and we need to speak about it before we get into Fulham and stuff. But yeah, a 4-0 win. Again, going into that one, I think we were talking on the preview about like another test, but another difficult test with the players that were missing. And we go into the game, and yeah, we just look like we were... I think we just hit like a level now, especially in like, we'll talk about the Fulham game. We just seem to have hit a level now where if whoever plays, everyone's just on song and everyone's just in rhythm. And it just seems to be cascading through the whole side. Like anyone that comes in replaces the other player. And we've seen it in past previous versions of Klopp sides where that kind of happens. Someone will come in and they'd be able to do a good version of what the first choice person would be able to do. And that's kind of what we're seeing recently, because especially in the Bournemouth game, obviously we're missing Trent, missing Salah, Endo, McAllister, Jones and Elliott played in the midfield. You've got Diaz over on the left, Jota up top, Nunes on the left, Connor Bradley stayed in the side alongside Konate and Van Dijk, Joe Gomez left back, and then Alisson in goal. And I think we might as well go straight to the goals, to be honest, because we don't manage to score in the first half. It's kind of a load of glut of goals in the second half. And I think even going in at half time, we've said it loads this year. Like, I've never been like worried if like we're going in at half time 0-0, even if we're 1-0 down. I'm always like, we've got enough in the tank, we've got enough quality, even with loads of players out. And I love seeing those tweets where people are like, we're beating these teams, we're missing like 9 players, we're beating these teams, we're missing 8 players. And it's like, it speaks a lot to the quality, and like the likes of like Nunes and Jota who got on the score sheet. And Nunes opens the score, and it was an absolutely, we'll talk about the main man that you love, we might as well go mm-hmm. talk about him first, Darwin Nunes. And that goal was just, again, it seems to happen every week where he'll miss a few and he might have a game where it doesn't quite go for him. But this one was a game where he was hitting the target, and this one was like straight into him. He didn't even have to think about it. He just went right beside foot, bottom corner, and 4 minutes after the half. And then you're like, right, now let's build on this, because after the first half and kind of go from there. And that's what happened as well.
Yeah, and it's a nice little play there, but you know, when an assist from Jota. But I just like the way that Nunes moves into space just before Jota finds him in that space, which is good, clever pass as well. But just to stay on side and find that little space and being, you know, directing his body, you know, it's right already when situation happens, so you don't have to do much than just adjust his finishing, which is great as well, because he's doing in the movement. And that's where you want to see Nunes, in those positions where we see him all the time, I think. But you know, he misses a few, but this is when he just goes on instinct and just do what he does best when it comes to being a goal scorer. You can always argue about him, you know, doing more goals, and you know, that's something we would agree on. But you know, it's just very nice to see when he comes in that moment and he actually gets in there and just scores brilliantly. So that goal was, I wouldn't say a relief, but you know, like you said, I'm quite confident that we can come out in a second half after the first half where we haven't scored. But the only thing that I was concerned about was that, you know, as a collective, I wasn't feeling it, you know, the first half. I was like, it's a little bit slow, it doesn't really work for us. And you know, Bournemouth wasn't that good either, but at the same time, they've been in form lately. Solanke's obviously scored for them a few times as well, so I was a little bit concerned that, you know, it can come back and actually, you know, punish us if we don't, you know, take our opportunities. But obviously scoring that quick in the second half helped us going forward. So I think it's overall, you know, stable first half, but really great to take the lead in the second half.
Yeah, I think that's what I've loved as well. Like I said, even if we don't perform that well, when we get to certain points in the game, like even if it's half time or when it gets to 60 and you're bringing those subs on, which the stats on like the Liverpool players coming off the bench and scoring goals for us is like, I think it's double the second team, which is just ridiculous. For I think it's like 30 odd goal contributions from substitutes, which is ridiculous. But it proves that going into games and maybe not quite figuring it out straight away, but we seem to be able to do it over the 90 minutes, and that's what you want when you're going into games like this. When you're missing that many players as well, like it's difficult to keep those high levels. And again, it's another sign of like the mentality in this group of players, which is class to see. And we mentioned Nunes, and we'll get on to a second goal obviously because it was the last one in a minute. But Jota gets a quick fire double, 70th minute and 79th minute. And the first one, I loved, because it was just him all over, like when the way it all set up for him, and the little ball in by Gakpo. And I was thinking as it's rolling through, I was thinking, is the defender going to be able to get in there and get a little nick on it with his toe? But Jota's just that bit of speed in those areas, he comes alive and just absolutely buries it. And it was just again, like on 70th minute, when you're 2-0 up, you can kind of take a deep sigh of relief and be like, right, that should be game over now, and try and add to it.
Yeah, and you know, it's it is a great goal as well, and like a first one, but it's just nice to, you know, build on the lead and actually make sure that we got the control over the game and feel like this is done and dusted now. You should never rest and you should never underestimate, you know, minutes for a opposition to come back into a game. We can talk about that when it comes to Fulham, you know, in the cup, but it's more like you can control the game. You don't have to stress going forward. You don't have to attack, even if we like us to attack and score more goals. You don't have this, you know, the press to do it or the pressure to do it because you're in the lead. And I like that because sometimes when we play, we do it a little bit difficult for ourselves. And we sometimes, you know, see that on Twitter and stuff. We never do it, you know, the simple way or easy for us or whatever. And yes, it's true sometimes with Liverpool. Sometimes it feels a little bit harder than it should be in certain situations or games. But I think, you know, Bournemouth away, like I said, the first half was not that good, but still controlled. But then we managed to score two goals in the second half. And I feel like that's not enough time for them to come back because it feels like they're, you know, the air goes out of them a bit. You know, it's hard for them to actually come back in the game, even though they play at home. So very pleased for the goal, very pleased when the goals comes as well. It's a good time of the goals because it kind of pushes them a little bit further down all the time and just make sure that you're not coming back into these lads. And we could just keep on controlling it, which I like because it gives me as a supporter a sense of calmness as well, because you're always a little bit of on an adrenaline and, you know, you're always a little bit nervous ahead of every game, even though you think that it was going to go and make it because you know the quality that we have. But I just love when we do this, like 1-0, 2-0, controlling it, because it just feels like, all right, that's 3 points in the bank. Let's continue and just control it. Maybe score a few more, which we did. But I just like that way of playing a game and how we perform in a game like that.
Yeah, I've just actually realised that we haven't even spoke about the Clive challenge, which I don't even think there's any points, because at this point in time, when you look back at like the Jones one and it goes over the ball and gets a red card, and then Clive does pretty much the same thing and he doesn't even get a yellow. Not uneven happens. It's just, you're just like, you've changed the rules during a season. Like that surely can't be the way to do things, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's after that, there's one for Chelsea. I think it was Gusto. I think I'm getting mixed up with a food company there, Gusto. I think that one is a carbon copy of Curtis Jones. I don't think the Clavette one's quite the same, but it's still over the ball. He's not there quick enough. If Diaz, so is it like, are they now going back to it's only a red if Diaz gets an injury? The rules were already fucked anyway, but now that they've given red cards for something like that before, and now they're not giving red cards for something similar, it's just like, again, it just makes you laugh, because if that we go into that game and we don't end up getting the win somehow, or we end up maybe we draw 0-0 or 1-1, I don't know, whatever, and then that becomes a bit of a focal point for us to say, well, we should have been playing against 10 men for most of the game. Do you know what I mean? So it's just frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very frustrating and it's weird. You know, it just makes you lose a little bit of interest and emotional part of it as well, because like you said, we got the red card with Jones and another few red cards in the start of the season, which, you know, obviously one was taken back and the other one was just controversial as well. But then you see those kind of attackers, which is the same as Jones, that were very similar. And you think like, well, you know, I can look at it and think, you know, should it be a red card? Maybe. Depends on what, you know, limits or levels that you set the rules on. Like, is it dangerous play or is it more of a, you know, an unlucky kind of tackle? You have no intention to go in that hard or whatever. You know, I don't know where they put all these little levels of different, you know, on the rules and what should be a red and not. But, you know, in my book, it's always a yellow at least. You can't get away with that without nothing. But, you know, in my world, it could also be like, maybe if he was coming on the floor with, you know, stretched legs and studs out, yes, that would be a red. But, you know, it's more coming on top and stuff. So for me, it could be like with Jones, it's a yellow and that's it. Keep on playing, because you don't want to ruin football games sometimes in some a situation where you can't feel it's actually a red card straight away. But, you know, so you would tell if there was like a tackle that was dangerous. This is more like, did he mean it? Nah, I don't think so. It's more of an unlucky way of coming into a challenge. So they need to settle the rules for next season where to have the bar for red cards. And, you know, because the red cards for some of these situations. There's nothing for like Clavin in this situation. So you'd be like, so what is the rule and when are we supposed to think there's going to be a yellow or red or whatever? So for me, it's just taking away loads of like passion and emotional feelings, because you'd be like, you get quite numb. You feel like, oh, all right, then nothing. You know, with that tackle, I would at least want to see, a yellow card, because that means like the tackle is a little bit dangerous. So it should be punished with a yellow. But at the same time, you know, okay, he got a warning, so now obviously he's on a yellow, so he needs to stay a little bit more calm in the game, because he can go out if he continues to do something else that is stupid or whatever. So it gives it a bit of an advantage as well. So that's why I think it's weird that it's not even a yellow, when, you know, with the VAR situation where you have the chance to look at it and they don't give anything. It's just like, oh, come on again. So we shouldn't go into that little hole.
Yeah, and quick checks as well. Like, before the Curtis Jones one happened, then, and when even after it did, I think all of us were saying, well, it's a bit of an accident because he goes over the ball. But they've then give a red, so it sets a precedent off for the rest of anything similar. You then look at it going, well, that was a red. Why isn't this a red? And it's like, that's the point. Like, which, like you just said, like the Jones one. If you want to give a yellow for that, I think we're all happy with that, because it could potentially be a leg break. It could be dangerous because of the situation, how fast football is, and there's like proper athletes, and they're nicking the ball away and at full speed, someone's running at them at full speed, and they hit the shin or they hit the knee or whatever. It's dangerous. So give a yellow. But these given reds and then like changing from like 2 minute, 3 minute checks. Now they're like, right, let's make it so that we're checking everything, but let's do it quicker. But in doing that, they're not then checking enough. Like, it seems like, I think with the Odegaard one, it was like, they were like, oh yeah, I think he's fallen over, he's pulled his arm towards him, I think that's fine. And then the other fella who's checking as well, yeah, I've seen a brief clip of it, but I think I agree. And it's like, you've seen a brief clip of it and you think you'd agree. Like, that's not good enough, mate. Like, take another 30 seconds, have another look if you want to, but get the right decision. Like, it's this, like, the going, oh, let's make sure we look at it fully for ages, and then you can look at it for something for longer, you can change your mind a couple of times because you're not sure. Then now they're like, oh, let's make it short. But in doing that, they're not giving themselves enough time. So they need to find that like leeway in between those two things, which I understand is hard to do, but you need to be getting the right decision. It seems like that show with like Michael Owen, Howard Webb, I don't know how often it's on, I don't watch it, I just see the fucking clips, and I'm like, Howard Webb pops up, he's like, oh yeah, Liverpool should have got a penalty, or Liverpool shouldn't have had this happen to them, or they should have had this and whatever. And it's like, I'm happy with the like saying it, but does it make me feel any better? Because you're just like, approving the stuff that I'm agreeing, that we all agree with, and we should have more points because of it. We should be further away in the league. So it just fucks your head up a little bit.
Yeah, and every time they say that, I don't watch the show, I also see the clips, but you know, that's the thing. Every time they say that, you know, Liverpool or another team should have had this, or it shouldn't be this or whatever, it just, you know, the result is, so it was actually so many wrong decisions going back in every fucking game. So every time you're on the show, you're saying, no, it should have happened this, or that should have been changed, or no, this was wrong. It just proves whatever supporter is saying. It's like, you have to fucking sort this out, because every time you look back, something was wrong in decision making in a game where you have the VAR to use as a tool to help you out. It would be different if they were analyzing games where referees didn't have that tool, like back in the days when they could just go back and say, okay, this was a mistake, but at the real time there, you couldn't do anything because that's what the referee saw with his assistants. So that would be fair. Like, all right, then, that was a mistake. But at the moment, you only had that moment to see it. But now you've got the tool to help you out. You're still sitting there saying that some, you know, many decisions were wrong in the past, previous the game. So, yeah, let's just sort it out. And we move on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wasn't even going to bring it up. But then that's the thing. You start talking about it and then you start pissing you off even more. And you start thinking about other bits and you're just like, oh, fuck.
I had a good day, Mick.
Yeah, I've just ruined it by bringing up the Clive challenge. Sorry, lad. But yeah, we'll move on to Jota's second goal, and it was funny because people were like, "Oh, is it a Jota assist for himself?" Because the way he just mishits the ball, and I loved it. Well, let's talk about Conor Bradley first, because that he sets it up. He gets his first Premier League assist on his Premier League debut, which again is just ridiculous. He's coming into these games now because Trent's not there, and based off what he's been performing like recently in other games, he deserves it. But he just looks like he just looks so good, doesn't he, Conor Bradley? I mean, we're going to get onto the Fulham game in a minute again, where he was very impressive alongside Kwanzaa, both 20-year-olds on that side. But in the Bournemouth game, I just thought like he was just handling himself. Obviously, up against Sinisterra, who's a tricky winger, very quick, and he done him a few times, which you can accept. But in terms of like energy and like just making, trying to get stuck in, and I think it's like setting the tone as well a little bit, like just showing that energy and running up and down and getting stuck into challenges. Very good on the ball, I think very underrated. That his passing is quality, and moving into the middle of the pitch as well. But lovely to see him like get his Premier League debut and get an assist on it, and us to win 4-0 is just like, then brings up the questions like, when Trent comes back, is he going to go straight back in? Is Trent going to go into midfield? Like all those other conversations then come up because of it. But I'm just made up of Conor Bradley, like a product of the academy and stuff, and having players coming through like that is, again, you want to get as many as them into the side as you can.
Yeah, you know, all praise to him. And I think, you know, when you think back on, was it last season that he was out on loan at Bolton, and they are like League One, which is obviously two divisions down from Premier League. And I didn't watch much or read much about him, but, you know, I followed a little bit, you know, it said, you know, that he had a few, you know, assists, he scored a few, couple of goals, and he was really one of their best players. I think he was even voted their best player maybe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I read that somewhere.
I think so.
Anyway, you know, to play in that league and perform well is good when if you're a youngster, but then to come back to Liverpool and get into, you know, training with the first squad, then, you know, get into, you know, another quality level, I would say, you know, in, you know, without being disrespectful to Bolton, but, you know, it is, you know, with the other players on some of them, or many of them, you know, world-class players, to come in and probably perform well, to, you know, be kept in the squad for this season. And then obviously performing like he has done in the games, you know, it's a very nice way of looking at the development, just working on the Klopp and his staff, but also say, you know, if he was proving himself in Bolton and in League One and was one of their best players, if not the best, yes, that's one thing. But then to take the steps and perform on a high level in Liverpool, a team like, you know, should be considered, you know, competing for the title in domestic cups and going far in Europa League and all kind of stuff, that he competes on a level where you think like, fucking hell, he's really good. And then he's just keep on proving you that he has the levers to just continue like this. So, you know, I think, you know, Trent's coming back. He will probably go straight in, obviously, because it's Trent. But it's great to see we got an option now, which comes from our own academy, who could come in and do a great job. Especially, I think his work rate up and down that wing, and, you know, defending is good. He's very, like you said, he got loads of energy. He's good with the pressing. He's good on the passing on the ball. So, you know, we've got someone there who can, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, in terms of what we're going to maybe bring in when summer comes. But, you know, if we want to move up Trent in a permanent position in the midfield, we've got someone who can actually play on the right back. And I think at the same time, being someone who a more natural right back, if you like, especially coming, you know, on the outside and not moving into the central of the pitch. And I also like that he kind of looks in a way like a right-footed and obviously right-sided Andrew Robertson. He got the same kind of spirit and, you know, energy and toughness in him. And, you know, I just think that sometimes we again, when it comes to, you know, judging young players coming through, that some players are not, you know, Michael Owens or Steven Gerrard, or fucking Messi, if you like, who, you know, comes out as a 16-year-old and just blow our minds, or 17-year-old or whatever. He's 20 now, but he's taken his time. He got the experience being out on loan, and he's taking his development to another level. And now he's at a Premier League level, and he plays for us. And, you know, he's from the academy, and it's just brilliant to see. And I think it comes down to our supporters again. Patience is key. Let them have some time. Yes, they could turn into 21, 22, 23-year-old. As we've seen with Curtis Jones, he's always been good, but he's taking steps as well. But some players doesn't hit that, you know, world-class level at a certain young age. It could take them a few years to actually adapt. So I'm just very happy that we got him, and actually Kwanzaa, who we probably will talk about, you know, coming from our own academy, because it means a lot that we can actually create those talented players and play for us in the Premier League or in the Cups.
Yeah, I think you can see that when he plays footy, like when Klopp was saying, like, he's going to fall asleep in the dressing room and all that, like that type of stuff. That just makes you laugh, because it's like, it's clear that he's up for the fight, proper up for the fight, and and got the quality to go along with it, which is what you need. You're not going to be playing in a Liverpool side if you haven't got the quality, and he's got loads of it, which is, like you said, from the academy and all that, so it's even better. But on the goal, and I loved it, because it was of course, an assist for Conor Bradley. But the finishes, I said the first one was just jotted all over. I think this one's similar. Like, he messes up the first one, but then he just thinks, ah, fuck this, I'm going to just absolutely volley this bottom corner. And I loved, like, it just reminded me of the last game against them in the Cup against Bournemouth, where Nunes does that. He miscontrols it, and their fans cheer, but then he picks it up, and then 5 seconds later it's in the back of the net, and they're all crying. And I think that it happened again, because they all cheered when he missed it, and then literally 2 seconds later that ball's in the back of your net, it's 3-0, it's game over. And it's just like, yeah. I don't know, I mean, we could do a whole new show, another show on, like, opposition fans and the chants that they sing and all that, because there's just so many that do my head in and stuff that they do. But I love times of that where it's just, like, perfectly synchronized. Like, it's just like, he's missed it, you can have your little cheer, like, he's fucked it up, now he's gonna absolutely hammer it bottom corner, and you're gonna be gutted. I love the whole sequence of it.
Yeah, I haven't even thought of it, because I just was, you know, very happy with the goal. I thought, you know, brilliant from Jota to, you know, be that clever and quick to get the, you know, the second chance and just to bury it down there in the net. But I just love the way that you explained it there, because I haven't even thought of it. But I can hear in my head now how they go, like, way, when he misses it, and then two seconds later he's got, fuck off. you know. So I would probably try to, you know, I would love to just listen to the audio tape from that, how the crowd just goes like that, because it's obviously a little bit of a funny moment where you don't expect that, because you can imagine being them there when you go like that, hey, and then you stop, fucking hell, just straight after. And yeah, well, that's also, you know, a sign of the brilliance of Jota again, you know, because we talked about it before, you know, how smart he is as a footy player, and I think he shows that, and it proves again, you know, how clever he is, because it doesn't just mean that he's lucky. He's actually, you know, quick enough in his thought. You know, he misses the first one because he comes, you know, and bounces and stuff. And, you know, some player, even with his levels, can miscontrol and, you know, miss a ball like that. But just to be able to, you know, pick it up straight away, and then also being able to actually finish that ball off so nicely at the second chance just shows, you know, he's got the high levels, you know, he's brilliant. I think Jota, and I know that he doesn't play all the time, but that's the thing as well. We've got different type of players, and sometimes you need his type, and sometimes you might need a Nunez type or whatever, and it, you know, changes how we play, changes the, I wouldn't say rhythm, but it changes the way how the opposition will look at us when they're defending as well. So I just like that we've got, you know, those options, which makes it really hard for whoever we play, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think Jota's, like, he's just so, I mean, he's just got that, like, cult hero status, hasn't he? I mean, and then there's the whole, obviously, off the back of the two goals, I think Carragher was talking about on after the game, like, about, like, if he's our best ever finisher and all that. And then that obviously then sparks a load of, like, a massive debate on social media, where people are like, no chance, Fowler's 10 times better and all this. And let's not even get into that, because Jota in his own right is world class. When he's in those positions, he's deadly. And I think that's something that when he's had these injuries that have been frustrating in the past, it's those maybe a couple of weeks or months or whatever he's out, when you're like, fucking hell, we could deal with a Diogo Jota right now. Just those games where you draw on 1-1, or you're not getting a goal when you need it, like a late goal or pop up with something. He's the guy you want to be bringing on with 20 minutes to go to get it for you. So I think his availability recently, and hopefully it stays like that, touch wood, is key, especially when you're fighting on all fronts. You need goal scorers, you need people who can do it on a regular basis, and he's one of them. But then we bring on Bobby Clark, we bring on Owen Beck. For Owen Beck's Premier League debut. I'm not sure if it's Bobby Clark's Premier League debut, actually. I'll have to check that. But definitely Conor Bradley's and Owen Beck's. We'll have to check the Bobby Clark. Yeah, and then Nunes gets the goal to cap her off. And I love this goal as well. Even like at the end, we were just knocking around and it was just like 3-0, the game's over. And then the game, I think it was what? Was the they put like 8 minutes up for the board, didn't they? And we were, everyone was just like, what are you doing? Why? Like, it's 3-0, the game's over. They don't want to play another minute. We don't want to play another 8 minutes. Just fucking blow the whistle. Like, just mutually agree to do 30 seconds added on time. Let's just agree that there was no point. But anyway, we get the goal 3 minutes into it. Of course, Owen Beck, like I mentioned, comes on. So that shifts Gomez over to the right-hand side. And Gomez whips in a class assist for Darwin Nunes. He sees him in space. And the ball is just... I mean, we could talk about Joe Gomez on another whole podcast on how good he's been doing recently, but he gets an assist and Nunes gets another goal, and it was his 25th Liverpool goal so far in his career, which, I mean, he could definitely have more than that, but I think he's going in the right direction in terms of scoring goals and being in the right places and putting them away. And it was just a nice capping off of the game as well.
Yeah, and I love how he makes that ball just, you know, go away from the goalkeeper and just, you know, down in the right corner, because you need to direct that ball in that direction, because otherwise the goalie will probably save it or even, you know, get a touch on it or whatever, or be in the way for being, you know, completely straight with the answer. You know, like, he needs to do that, and that's the brilliance of Nunes, I think, that he's got the ability to do that, just like the first goal of his, you know, when he just makes sure that it goes away from the goalkeeper. And what I like about him when he just doing these goals on scoring these goals on, you know, instinct, is like some of his, he will probably, you know, have to develop them a bit, but, you know, some of his goal scoring is like a bit of Thierry Henry, even though Thierry Henry had a bit more, obviously everything was an elegance with him. He could just, you know, bend the ball around a goalie without any effort. It just looks so effortless when he did it, and it doesn't look like that when Nunes is doing things sometimes. But it's just the way that he finishes it when it comes to his instinct, and he just do it. And I think he's very good at it. And I hope if he can polish that and continue to develop that, I think, you know, his finishing will become even better. We know it's already good. We just, you know, I think, you know, it's a little bit of unluck and, you know, a bit of form and all these kind of things as well, and a bit of pressure, you know, everything mixes into it. But I think, you know, when we see him finish, you know, goals off like this, we know that it's world class. So hopefully he can just continue. He didn't, you know, he didn't score against Fulham, which we will talk about soon, but at the same time, you know, he's doing so much other things on the pitch that we would talk about that, you know, contribute to how we play. So, you know, for me, he's just a starter every game if he doesn't need a rest, obviously.
Yeah, easy. He's so key to, I think, you put something in the group chat last night about like him when he comes off the field, like we lose something, and that's true. I think it was the same with McAllister, which we'll get onto in a sec. Like, you lose, you want to play these players 90 minutes and all every day, all game, but he worked himself into the ground. I've just checked Bobby Clark, by the way, just because it was doing me head in. He made his debut, his Premier League debut, in our 9-0 win over Bournemouth. So his two Premier League appearances have been against Bournemouth, basically. So he came on 90th minute against Bournemouth when we beat them 9-0 at home, and now he's played a cameo in the 4-0 win over Bournemouth away. So
he must have been very young then, because that's like 2 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, it's last season. August 22.
All right, yeah. So 1.5 years then.
Yeah. So, yeah, I knew he'd, as soon as I said, was it Bobby Clark's debut in my head, I was like, I know it probably weren't, so I need to check. So, yeah, there you go. There's the answer.
So, is he 18 now? So he must have been like 17 or 16?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that, right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Which is, again, another player that we've got who can come in and definitely has got the quality, otherwise you wouldn't be getting thrown in. I think you can see that in certain moments in the Fulham game, which we'll get on to right now, because we've just spent probably longer than normal on the Bournemouth game. But there's so much good stuff to talk about. But of course, last night we drew 1-1 with Fulham, and like we said at the start of the show, booked another trip to Wembley, which again is, these type of things are a massive and a confidence booster. And I think maybe you don't view the the League Cup as a big thing, and that's fair enough in comparison to like maybe like obviously the Premier League, Champions League, and whatever FA Cup. But in terms of like, I always just think of it as another step and another trophy of getting that gap between us and the Manx further away in terms of being the most successful team. That's the way I always think of it, and trying to get as many as we can. And it breeds confidence, and especially like the players that we've signed recently, they haven't won a trophy with us. That it's the first time they'll be getting to a final with us. So it's like, again, like those players that have been there and done it, giving the guidance to the other ones. And then once those players have won something like that, then it's like, well, that's off the back of them then, and then they can go on and get more. But yeah, in terms of the game then, couple of changes. Of course, Kelleher comes in. Connor Bradley starts again alongside Quansah, like we mentioned earlier. Two 20-year-olds on that right-hand side. I was looking at that a little bit going, I would normally be like quite nervous about that, but because of the quality that they've shown, I was like, I'm happy with it, and they deserve the chance. And then you've obviously got Van Dijk and Gomez on the other side, which is loads more experienced. Midfield three of Elliot, McAllister and Gravenberch, and then you've got Gakpo, Nunes and Diaz. It seemed like Diaz was on the Gakpo was on the right, sorry, and you had Diaz on the left and then Nunes through the middle, but they were kind of interchanging as and when we needed them to. And we start the game very well. I mean, the goal was a bit mad, like the way it all happened. It just kind of scooped through Leno's hands, and it makes me so happy that like our number one is like just so reliable, like even stuff like that. Like touch wood, like obviously probably jinx that now, Alec, with Alisson, the game's coming up, but he, like stuff like that, just like stuff that is going at him, or like I never feel worried. Like in the past, like I guess like we've had like, I don't know, JT Dudek, whatever, good shots that, but like hard shots that were fired at him and he maybe moved a little bit, I always expected them to parry them out and then it gives them a chance for strikers to score. But with stuff like that, Alisson's just so good and he's so reliable at like just like covering posts, and then obviously he's world class, he can make world class saves as well. But that was a perfect time to score. I thought like 10 minutes in, we're already 2-1 up, now it's 3-1, they need two goals. Just kind of like you said earlier, with the Bournemouth game, like getting those goals at the right times to kind of knock the opposition back down at the right time. I think that was a good time to do it early in the game, where you're like, right now we've got a 2-goal lead, what are you going to do about it? And I think it was a good, we'll talk about the first half first. I think it was a very good half from us. I thought very professional. But again, I think there's certain times where we're getting on the counter attack and stuff where like slightly that the pass is not quite there, or we're choosing the wrong pass, or there's not enough on it, or it's not into the path of the person. It's just little things like that, where if you're putting those chances away, like if you got 2-0 up at half time, the game's done, the game's over, like 4-1 up. But yeah, Diaz's goal was I was gonna say it's a lovely goal, but it's like the intent from Diaz, and I think it kind of encapsulated his performance as well, in terms of he was energetic the whole game. He was causing Castagna loads of problems down that right hand side, down that left hand side, and it was just a nice for him to get on the goals on the score sheet as well.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, and I think it's a lovely pass from Quans as well. To see that space and, you know, put it there, and then obviously Diaz have to do the job to, you know, put the defender, you know, out of balance and out of control of the situation, which he does greatly without getting a free kick against him, because it can easily happen in those situations where you go into, you know, body against body and maybe a little bit in the back and you get a free kick against you. But I think he just does perfectly in terms of being inside the rules, if you like. You know, there's nothing there that can say it's a foul or whatever, and he just comes out on the other end. And then obviously the finish is not that great, but then it goes through the hands of Lino, and it's a goal. And like you said, it's 3-1 up, and I felt like, yes, come on, this is the, like you said as well, it's the best, you know, possible way of starting the game, because now we can just control it and take it easy. We don't really need to have, you know, to feel the stress and press to go forward and score, because now we're in control. And I think, you know, overall, even though, you know, Fulham is they're quite good, to be honest. You know, I don't watch them that much, but I think they are quite stable as a team. You know, collectively, they work really hard and do great things together. But I think we were really good, like you said, the first half as well. And we got a few, you know, when you mentioned Conor Bradley and Kwanzaa being on that right-hand side of the defensive line together, you know, it just looks like they've both been playing 400 games for us, and it's like the easiest thing in the world. Especially, you know, Kwanzaa. I think he looks like he's the most calm, like, central defender you've seen for a long, long time. Even more calm as Virgil van Dijk, if you like. But you know, he just, but he just looks like he's, you know, no worries. I know what I'm doing. And I love that, because like we said, he's only 20, and to have one of them as well, you know, talents as a center back, or, you know, someone who comes in from the academy, which you didn't really know much about. And we said this before, but to just raise his levels and play at this level without any doubt about his own abilities and the self-confidence and you know, without any stress or even, you know, making any mistakes. And I hope I don't obviously jinx that, but, you know, he's played so many games now where I just feel like maybe he's done one or two, you know, I wouldn't say mistakes, but, you know, situations where, ah, that was a little bit, you know, dodgy, or that was a little bit nervous of a moment. But, you know, in terms of just playing at the back of, you know, Liverpool and being 20 years old, it's just like, yeah, you know, I know I can do this. You know, I know my levels. And I love that, because, you know, he's probably saved us £100 million there. And also, we can also go out and, you know, look for another central defender without any stress, because we know that Matip's contract is up. He's also injured now. We don't know what's going to happen there. If he's going to get an extension, or if we're going to stay around as more of a backup player, whatever's going to happen. But we still probably need another defender. But, you know, Kwanzaa have made sure that we don't have to look at, you know, someone who's, you know, there on the highest level, because he's there now playing. And we know, like, okay, we can actually maybe bring in some more talent for the future, or someone who's cheap and can be a backup, because we got, you know, their future central defender in, you know, from our own academy. So really good. Very pleased.
Yeah, massively. I think it's this thing that we've Klopp cultivated this, like, this perfect, like, haven for these, like, players to come in. Like, I think we've said it before, like, the players that have signed for other teams, like, if they would have signed for Liverpool, like, I always reference Sancho, because I always think, like, if we would have signed Sancho, for example, he would have been boss for us. If we would have signed Werner, he would have been boss for us. But it's all about having that environment perfectly ready for someone to come in, and for, especially for kids, where you've got, last season didn't go well, but end of the season we fixed it, and we made a new system and the setup and whatever, and these players have bought into that, but they've also got the players in there who've been there and done it. The Van Dijks, the Allisons, the Salahs, who can show them the way. And you've got to have the quality as well. And Bradley and Kwanzaa have got loads of it. I've got loads of it. And I think it's like you said, I always say the more academy lads you can get on the side, the better. Like, you want, ideally you want 11 academy lads in your team, because they're going to be quality, and they're also going to work their arse off for you, because they know what it means to wear the shirt. So, again, Kwanzaa, like you said, it was, yeah, I agree. He just looks like he's just super calm. Like, even in, like, I watched the interview after what he'd done with Van Dijk, and he's just like, just proper, like, yeah, we did our job, we smashed it, whatever, we're through to the next round. Just like proper level headed. And I love that. And he's obviously got a little bit of cockiness to him after, like, the whole Matip thing, where maybe he said, like, that interview came a little bit too soon after, where he was like, Matip got that injury and he was like, oh, I wanted Matip out the way anyway, obviously, because he wanted to be a higher man in the pecking order and all that. But it's like, it's more like he's got, like, high standards for himself already, because the players that are there, the Van Dijks that he looks up to, and he has to try and match him every day. Because I think he said something that was quite interesting, I thought, after the game, was he thought he'd done okay, like, but he felt a little bit rusty, because it's about having that rhythm and he hasn't played for a couple of weeks. I think that's something, like, he's obviously not happy with being on the bench. He wants to be him.
I love that kind of, you know, sorry to interrupt, but I just love the way he says that, because it shows you that he wants to play all the time.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly.
You need that.
Yeah, I think, and especially for someone like that, you can mistake it for like cockiness or whatever. But I think Curtis Jones, I think we've said it before, like, he's got a little bit of that, where he, like, a bit of swagger about him. It's like, I deserve to be in this side. It was like, well, you've got to then go and show it. And I think from what we've seen so far in the few games we've seen Kwanzaa, he's been tremendous.
But it's, you know, it's quick to say, you know, that's what, you know, Steven Gerrard said, you know, after he, you know, finished his career, about, you know, going into training and just try to, you know, be the best in training and get people out of the way and get the starting place in the, you know, in the first 11. So that's what you have to do. You can be, you know, your teammate, you can be mates outside the pitch, but on the pitch, you're professional. That's your job. You want to play. That's your profession. So you want to make sure, if you're one of them who, you know, want to have a great career and show what you're capable of, you need to go in and just do the job. And I like that with Kwanzaa, and I like that with Jones as well, that, you know, they believe in themselves and the quality they have. So even though, you know, you'd never want, you know, someone like Matip being injured for a long time, even if you get his place, you show your capability, that's not maybe the right way. But at the same time, it doesn't really matter. You just want to play, because if you've got the chance, you take that opportunity and you can go from there. And, you know, if it's hard then for Matip or whoever it is in another position coming back and get that place, that's because you've shown your levels. And, you know, playing in the Premier League for a team like Liverpool, you need that kind of, you know, fucking, you know, I'm going to go and do this and I'm going to show everyone, because that means you raise the levels for everyone. And, you know, and I also want to give a quick shout out for Elliot as well, because sometimes he might not have the best kind of games. I think it was all right, you know, last night, playing against his, you know, old team as well and stuff. But one thing that I really love with him is that, you know, he runs his fucking bollocks off, to be honest. Yeah. He was knackered when, you know, after the final whistle. But, you know, in every game that he plays, he runs, put pressure, you know, work hard. And sometimes he doesn't have the best game, like I said, in terms of maybe contributing to, obviously he contributes to a win in the way he works, but I just love that he never gives up. And I read somewhere that he's close to the same statistics as James Milner in terms of the length of running or whatever during games or for a certain period of time. And I love that, because also, again, that shows that, you know, even if I might not have the best game, or even if I'm just going to show everyone and the manager that I'm never going to be calm or just, you know, relax. I'm always going to fight. And I love that, because you need that as well, because that also set the tone for everyone else to see a young kid like him. All right, you know, he runs his ass off, so maybe I need to put in a bit of shift as well. So
yeah, and I think that was kind of he encapsulated the energy of the rest of the side last night. Cause like Sandy Nunes, when he came off, he was absolutely knackered. Like, those, like, sprinting after the defenders, going over to the right back to the keeper again. Diaz the same, and like said, Elliot, I think similar to, I guess, Szoboszlai recently, where he maybe had some up and down games, but stuff that doesn't ever lack is the energy. I think that's something that obviously we missed last year with the midfield that we had. We were on here talking about fucking energy and no desire and whatever, and we were mistaken. Exactly. Maybe we were mistaken lack of legs for the lack of desire, but they just didn't have the legs, didn't have the energy, didn't have the speed to do what we need to do. I think we're seeing that this season, and that's a major reason why,
very much,
Liverpool are doing what we're doing, which is boss to see. But yeah, we get to half time, it's 1-0 to us. They bring on, of course, ex-red Harry Wilson, who had a good cameo, to be fair. We brought on Curtis Jones for McAllister, and we brought on Jota for Nunes, and I think those changes were needed, because McAllister was everywhere. I think similar to the Bournemouth game, he was boss again, like getting stuck in, and just those little passes. And yeah, he's been since that injury. I think since that injury, he's came back and he's like, right, fuck this. I'm gonna show you Alexis McAllister full throttle, and I'm right here for it. I fucking love it. And yeah, and then of course, when you bring off McAllister, who's been influential, then you bring off Nunes, is also influential. It's gonna have a little bit of an effect on like the style of the game, especially when you've got like, you 1-0 up, 3-1 on aggregate. You've got 20 minutes left. It's easy just to go, right, we'll just drop back like 4 or 5 yards, but we're still trying to press high and get jotted in the game and stuff. And then 10 minutes later, they get the goal, and it's Harry Wilson does well on that side, cuts inside, and plays it in, and Diop scores. And I was a bit pissed off he scored, because he was just having a little bit of a fucking Royal Rumble with Jota like 5 minutes before, weren't he? And I was like, oh, why is he
grabbing his fucking neck and scoring? Yeah.
I was just like, that pissed me off. But he gets it, and then you're like, 77th minute, you're like 15 minutes left. Is that like if they get another one? And it's like, but then Liverpool just showed, like bringing on Konate and then bringing on Bobby Clark and stuff, like keeping the energy levels up. I thought we just showed like proper. He's like a proper professional last 15 minutes, I thought. Obviously, it was a bit, there's a few moments where the ball's going into the box and they're throwing balls in, like high balls, and you're like, oh, fucking hell, all they need is one to drop here. to a player of good quality, and they've scored. But for the most part, I thought like it was just like, right, like it's going to be too tricky to go too high up and get another goal. Let's just try and bring on another centre half and keep us steady. And I thought we'd done it. We played the rest of it out perfectly, I thought.
Yeah, you know, you're a little bit concerned with the score because you think, you know, now they're going to get new energy. We have to, you know, be a little bit on our toes here, even though we started to get to the, you know, the end of the game. And especially with the substitutions as well, I totally agree that, you know, a player like Nunez need to go out because he was knackered, and even, you know, to get McAllister out because we need some bit of a rest and stuff. But I think, you know, it's needed. But, you know, like I said in the group chat and like we said before, we do miss something when Nunez is not playing. It's not always just, you know, chances created, because he does create a lot of chances and stuff for us. It's just the way that, you know, he's always keeping defenders occupied. He always makes them, you know, having to be troubled about, you know, the next move, because it's unpredictable. And I think we lose a little bit of a something special when he's not playing, without saying obviously Jota is a clever player. So I think, you know, when he comes in and he gets into a game, he's also providing loads of things. But it's just something with Nunez, in terms of he can be physical and he can win, you know, balls up high on the pitch, you know, with his he's quite tall and big, and he's good on his head and stuff. He always, you know, makes the defenders work hard, and then he goes out on the left and he, you know, goes at them that way. He comes in, you know, through the central, he gets into, it's always something. And I just feel that, you know, that threat disappears a bit, and the way we play as soon as he goes out, and obviously because he's so good at doing that kind of stuff. But at the same time, obviously, we've got the qualities to see it through. And, you know, with the young kids coming in and showing energy levels and doing great things as well, you know, you can just applaud them. And, you know, it's, even if it's just 1-1, we go through. And there's another final at Wembley, which is great.
Yeah, the only annoying thing is it's against Chelsea again. Like, I was, of course, the Middlesbrough first leg was like, oh, come on, they're not going to be able to do it, are they? And, of course, Chelsea just absolutely smashed them second leg. So, yeah, set up. And it's annoying because Chelsea is one of them teams, like, they've been shit this year, but whenever they play against us, like, they've just, like, they raised, like, the levels. Like, I mistakenly, like, when we talked about, like, the Chelsea game earlier in the season, I was like, oh, they look really good. They're going to be challenging for top four title. And I think back then, like, how wrong could you be? Like, just because you're basing it on how they performed against you, which I guess is wrong in a way. They've got to be consistently good, and they've been horrific. But I think it'll be another tight game. I think, I mean, I'd love it for us to go there and just be like, right, fuck the previous games, let's just beat these 2-3-0.
Yeah, exactly. Just go and fucking do them. Don't give them a fucking chance at all.
Yeah, I mean, but the main thing is we've got another trip to Wembley. Like I said, like, another transfer the players who've won stuff to go back, and a massive opportunity for the players who haven't won anything yet to go and win something. I think it's all about that, like, getting to these finals so often and making sure you win them. And then, like I said, it just, the confidence it breeds, and it gives you that, I guess, that bug to go and win more. I think that's something that, like, former players always speak about. It's like when you get that first taste, it's like, right, yeah, I want that again and again and again.
And I think what you mentioned before, which I forgot to comment on, but I will do now, is that, you know, it's another chance of a trophy. And if we win it, it's the 10th time we win the League Cup. It's also another cup that takes us further away from Man United as, you know, the best team in England in total of trophies, obviously. And it's also, like you said, that, you know, some players haven't, you know, tasted the victory with Liverpool yet in terms of trophies. So if they can get the first little taste of it, that it will be something that they want to have again. And also for the young kids to, you know, be inspired by, you know, we went to the cup final there, we won it, now we're still in the FA Cup. We hopefully, you know, we're playing Norwich, you know, at home, hopefully, you know, go through and compete still in that cup. And, you know, like I mentioned at the start, we're top of the table in the Premier League. You know, for everyone, you know, that must be something to, you know, always just find energy every day going into that training ground and, you know, seeing the teammates and knowing what they're doing together. Used to look at, you know, the table where they are in the cup, and you just feel like, fucking hell, we performing well. We are great. Because it creates team spirit as well. When things going well, obviously you're more positive minded, and together you can, you know, probably do more as a positive collective in terms of mentality. That's just normal. That's just human, I think. But, you know, for the young lads to hopefully, you know, because if you have to choose, yes, Champions League and Premier League are always, you know, the tops. And, you know, if I had to choose, I'll always pick the Premier League because I want to win more Premier League trophies, obviously. But, you know, to win a League Cup, it's not a bad thing, even though people might down talk it a bit. I just think, you know, like you said, it's another cup, it's another win, it's another fucking number on that, you know, trophy wall. It's winning what it's all about. We can look back and be like, we won it 10 times if we win it. So just go and win everything, because that's how I feel. Whatever Liverpool competing in is to win everything. I understand that's not possible every season because it's hard as fuck. But, you know, I want to do it. And if we got the chance to do it, just go and try to do it, obviously.
Yeah, massively. I think it's something like getting, like you said, more trophies on the board. And yeah, it's just a massive thing. Not just, like I said, for not just for senior players, but for everyone. It must be. I just think, like, as a player for Liverpool, it must be so, when stuff's going so well like it is now, it must be so easy to go into the dressing room and just be like on the training ground. And it must be, it must be like an easy period where you can just crack on and.
Yeah, and I hope we win so we can have another trophy parade in the end of the day, so we can rub that in the face of other supporters who are still, you know, crying about us, you know, celebrating the other two domestic cups we won. Because even though it was only the domestic cups, you know, the trophy parade, no one even come close to doing it the way we're doing it. So if we can go and win it, and hopefully something more this season, we can have another parade where everyone can just fucking celebrate. And then I'm over and I'm staying at yours and I'm going to fucking crash your place.
Yeah, because I think it's funny when, like, you listen to players talking about, like that parade, and it's like, you just lost the Champions League finals. Like, is this parade going to be any good? It's probably going to be shit. And then it was, like, one of the best ever. And that's why we're in this to watch footy. But, like, with Liverpool, we do it differently. And that's why... makes you love this club so much, because even in, like, times like that where you think you could just be like, oh well, so we didn't end up winning the main two, we won the other two that we would have preferred the other two, it was still an amazing day, and the players always say, like, it's one of their best days as a player, which is, again, proves just how good it was. But we still got to go and win it. We still got to go and beat Chelsea in the final. Yeah. And we've got Chelsea coming up in the league as well, of course. But let's talk a little bit about Norwich on Sunday. Luis Suarez isn't available, unfortunately, so we'll have to play Darwin Nunes instead. All jokes aside, like you said, it's another trophy, another opportunity, another. It's just like these games are coming around fast, but, like, I think for the players, I just think they must be like, right, give us another game in 2 days. Just give me a game every 2 days. Just give me loads of games, and that's why
you're in a momentum, you just want to keep going.
You just want to crack on and keep playing games. And Sunday, Hartu kickoff at Anfield up against Norwich. What are you thinking in terms of this one? In terms of team, then I'll read out the Fulham team for you. That was last night. And see, so the Fulham team was Kelleher, Bradley, Quansah, Van Dijk, Gomez, Elliot, McAllister, Gravenberg, Diaz, Nunes, Gakpo. I think there's a few changes. I think Alisson will come in. Kanate, Jones might come in for Gravenberg. There's a few options. Obviously, we didn't even mention Andy Robertson was on the bench last night. And that in itself, I think, is... He didn't come on the field. I didn't expect him to. Even if we were struggling, I didn't expect him to come onto the field. But having him back around in the dressing room and going out to games and traveling with the squad and whatever, that in itself is a massive boost. And I think having him back fit for going into a massive period of the season, of course, Gomez has been tremendous. But having Robertson back as well to give Gomez, maybe allow Gomez a game where he can go out and then come back in and be fresh, I think is going to do us wonders as well. So there's plenty of options again, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, even, you know, Joe Gomez might start on Sunday, because he obviously got 3 days now to just, you know, relax a bit and, you know, take it easy and recover. Still doing, obviously, training. But, you know, I think maybe he starts. But if Robertson, you know, was back on the bench, maybe he gets, like, a, I don't know, 20 minutes or something in that game, which obviously makes Gomez having a rest ahead of Chelsea, which is later on in the week after. So, you know, I think that could happen, that he starts, but then obviously gets taken off for Robertson. I think Konate comes in. We'll see if he plays all the game or what we're doing, because I think maybe, obviously, he's in the talk about starting against Chelsea as well. So might be that Kwanzaa starts, to be honest, and you wait with Konate because you would rather have him against Chelsea because obviously he's more experienced and still a better central defender in overall play, I would say. So, you know, we've got loads of options there, but, you know, I think, you know, it would be good. Obviously, Trent is still out, but Bradley, I don't mind him keep on playing because he just seems to have all his energy. So just give him as much game time as possible. Obviously, we don't want him to be, you know, injured because of, you know, stress on his body or whatever. But even if he's not 16, he's 20, but you still want to take it easy. But I just like the way he plays. And if you're in the zone and you've got confidence, just keep on playing if you can. And I think maybe Jones comes in as well, obviously, because he was substituted on last night. I think he comes in and starts. Harvey Elliott was running load. So I don't know, maybe he will have a rest. I don't know, because, you know, he was running loads and you get 3 days to recover. You're going to play again. It is hard to, you know what they think, you know, how they look at themselves and the staff look at them and thinking of energy levels and, you know, injury risks and all that kind of stuff. But I think, and I think we should give, you know, McAllister a little bit of rest as well, because he's so vital for us going forward in the Premier League against Chelsea and other games that I don't want to risk him too much, even though he's been brilliant. So you want him to play because he's been brilliant, because it helps us a lot, you know, on the pitch overall. But then you don't want to take any stupid risks with players that play load. So hopefully a bit of a rotation, and up front, you know, I love Darwin Nunez to play because I just like, and I want him to score goals. But, you know, like you said as well, taking him off and let him have a rest is good. So maybe he will start on the bench. I don't know. We'll see. And Luis Diaz, you know, I think, you know, continue, because he looks like he's coming back to form and he shows loads of energy. So he can continue to play for me. And then we'll see if it's Jota or Gakpo or whoever plays. But, you know, we still got plenty of players that is out, but at the same time, they're soon coming back and we got the chance to rotate anyway. So a bit of rotation, because obviously the big game would be still Chelsea at home in the Premier League to keep on being top of the table. So I would never say that I want to, you know, I want to be as rotate that much that we doesn't give the FA Cup a proper chance, because I want us to go there and try to win that as well. But I don't want it to be on the expense of, you know, being stupid and risk injuries and then maybe drop points in a game against Chelsea at home, where we get the chance to actually play them at home, get 3 points and continue to be top of the league in the way we're trying to do now going into the springtime, because it will be so vital to get them all 3 points at home games at least.
Yeah, I think the good thing is as well, the Norwich game is at home. I think if it was away, you then look and maybe the McAllister might start or whatever. I think Jones comes on for McAllister and plays that six role. I think he's more than capable of doing that in a game against Norwich. So, I mean, in a weird way, like you said, there's so many people out. We've got players coming back soon, loads of good players coming back soon, which is going to be, I can't wait to have all those lads come back, to Salah's, Endo's and Thiago, if we ever see him again. Bacetic is the one that we always forget about. I think he can come back in, and he's fucking amazing last year in a shit Liverpool side. I can't wait to see how good he's going to be in a good Liverpool side. So, you could Jones in the six. You could have Gravenberch on the left. You could have Gakpo on the right of the midfield. He's played there not to his best level in the midfield, if being honest, but I think even on the right side of the forward three last night, I think he isn't as influential in that area, but he's still got the ability on the ball to blast past someone or link up play. So he's still a vital part of this team, and of course he wants to play more games. So yeah, I think it's one of them, like options FC, still, even with nine players out, we've still got options. When you go, right, you can take him out for this one, give him 60, give him 30. I think it's about obviously working with the sports scientist and all that shit, like who's going to play 60, who's going to play 30, and they're just being like, right, then we go on to Chelsea on the Wednesday, and that's the bigger one. We need the Canard, like you said. It makes me think like Quantity is going to play in this one, because the Chelsea game's so massive, and we need the Canates available. We need McAllister's fresh for that one. We need Nunez fresh for that one. So it's like limiting their time on field is going to be more beneficial to us going into the bigger games coming up. So while still giving the FA Cup the respect, but I think at home, I think gives us that ability, and especially with like two games in a row at home, you're thinking of like, this is a good opportunity going into the the Arsenal away game on the 4th of February, which is going to be a massive one. That's going to be, I mean, we won't talk about that one now, but that's going to be a huge game, which I'm looking forward to. I mean, I'm looking forward to every game now. It doesn't matter what it is, like Norwich FA Cup. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for Liverpool to play footy again. I just want to
I was going to say, you know, I'm the same, and I'm looking forward to, you know, playing two home games in a row, you know, quite close to each other, because even though it's the Cup of the Premier League, it is something with playing home. It gives you more confidence because you play in front of your crowd and you hopefully get good results, and it takes you further down the line, especially when you're going to play Arsenal away, like you mentioned, quite soon. It means, like, if you play in a couple of homes and you get the good results from there, you take that with you. Even though our away game is, you know, more difficult, it kind of gives you this little boost, and I like that, because it's hard obviously to go maybe 2-3 away games in a row and expect, you know, wins from all of them. You maybe expect like two wins and a draw, but you might lose one and win two, or even draw one, and that gives you then a little bit of a down momentum in terms of how you look at it, both as a supporter, I guess, and a player. So ahead of a game like Arsenal, which is quite soon, I love that we play, you know, two games at home where you got the chance to really prove again that, you know, what you're all about, but also to take you that with you into a game like Arsenal away. So I think it's very vital at the timing as well. And it would be nice if you knew a little bit earlier when games were going to be played, because if I knew, I would come over for the weekend, watch the game on a Sunday, and then watch the game on a Wednesday and go back on a Thursday or whatever. That, you know, two games at home in a row where you have that, you know, titles. Space of time where you actually can stay for a couple of days and got two games, you know, that's brilliant. But yeah,
that's your perfect setup, and I come over for a few games and all bunch together. But like we said, like in terms of like the table, like I haven't looked at it for a bit, just because got so many games coming up in different competitions or whatever. You forget, like we're 5 points clear at the minute. Of course City have got that game in hand, which is against Burnley, is it? Oh, fucking hell.
Of course.
Yeah, they've got Burnley at home, they've got Brentford away, and then they've got Everton at home. Fucking hell, so they've got, yeah, that's, I mean, for those teams, for against City, when City get into that rhythm, and especially we've got De Bruyne back, and I just expect them to 2-3-0. So again,
yeah. Hope Company can be their worst enemy though, like their own worst enemy.
He can sub himself on and score a 30 yard worldie top corner like he did.
Oh, the bastard.
He did the fucking killers off, bastard. Right. We could do another half an hour, 40 minutes, easy, because there's just so much good Liverpool stuff to talk about, but we'll leave it there. And let's hope the Reds can continue marching on strong going into the Norwich game, and looking ahead to Chelsea. It's going to be interesting to see what team we put out and stuff, like it always is. I'm always like interested in, and like whenever the team comes out, like, yeah, that's sound, enough quality in there to do the job. And more often than not this season, it's been the case, and that's just down to how good Liverpool are, which is, again, if you sort of said last year, Liverpool are going to be 5 points clear and still in all the cups, whatever, going into heading into the end of January, I would have laughed in your face, to be honest, because like there's no chance we're going to be doing that good. So again, just appreciate how good this side is. I think that's something that, like, it's easy when there's so many games just to like kind of like, oh, let's win this one, and it happens, and there's another game. But I think like I always try and like live in the moment and try and enjoy just how good Liverpool are. I think it's something that I think with social media it's a bit harder because people are just constantly going, "Oh, this player wasn't good," and you're like, "Shut up."
I'm trying to constantly be positive, like you. Like I look at things like, you know, when especially when it comes to Liverpool, and you know, I don't want football to ruin my life, even if it sometimes, you know, makes you feel down. But you know, I try to look at it, you know, where you are, how it looks, you know, how we perform, how we, when it comes to form and how players look and all that. But also the only little thing, if I'm gonna, you know, blend in a little bit of negativity, it's the only thing that annoys me is that we couldn't win at home against Man United and Arsenal, to be honest, because those 2 points could have been 6 points, obviously, like 4 points more if you look at it. And if you look at a table with 4 points more, you know, even if Man City have a one game in hand and all that kind of stuff, but you would look at the, you know, Arsenal being, you know, they are 5 points now, we would have been 9 points clear, which is, you know, that annoys me a little bit, you know, even if it's Man United and Arsenal, and you obviously all respect to,
and
you know,
Spurs.
But that's another story though. That's not down to us, you know, that's the thing, like the others were down to us. And that annoys me a bit because, you know, I have all respect for both Man United and Arsenal when it comes to those kind of games, because they are not easy. Even if you, you know, like we always say, you know, the cliche, the form goes out the window and all that kind of stuff. It's hard games. Even though if you win 7-0 at home one season, it doesn't mean you were going to do it, even though we thought we were going to win it quite easy and we had, you know, chance and stuff. But that annoys me a little bit. I hope it won't come back and bite us, you know, come end of the season, because them two could have been like, you know, even more points being a top quite clear, to be honest, at the moment then, and be like, come on, we can actually lose a game. For example, we can drop a point against Man City at home if we were at that, you know, having that gap. So I think of it sometimes when I just like have time to sit down and you know, have my thoughts about football. I'll be like, ah, fucking hell, I should have won them two games.
Yeah, but I mean, like, again, and then you have to reference back to last year, and you're like, we're thinking about like, oh, we could have been this many points clear instead of this many points. Again, like, I understand, I get your point. Like, it is annoying, but I'm just like, we perform how you perform in games. Like, some games,
of course, yeah.
Like the United game was just set up, and you could tell straight away. The Arsenal game, we should have had a penalty. Like, you know what I mean? Like that, of again, course. Out of our control. So it's like, I think the United game, definitely we should have beat them in that game. But like the Arsenal game, the Spurs game, other games where maybe it's just we've just not had the rubber of the green. We've had sendings off, which we shouldn't have had. Like, you could go on, but we're going to get out of here because we're nearly an hour and 10 minutes in here. It's probably one of our longest without being on the whiskies and the bevies. So we will get out of here.
How do you know?
True. You just cracked open a little Glenfiddich, didn't you? Right, we're out of here. Nice one, everyone, for listening. If you're still listening, yeah, like I said, you are a true legend. Not that you, unless you've skipped forward or whatever, because I do that myself. If you skip towards the end or whatever, you want to have a little listen, then obviously that's, do what you do. As long as you're listening to us, I'm happy and I really appreciate it. But yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks to Christian, as always, for jumping on, and we'll see you all very soon. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Kopi Podcast.
Network.